Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Your boy Sloan Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen, in the world full of followers, be proud to be different, be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though, what do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Yeah, you better represent, bruh. You better represent. No, I'm joking. You know, that's pretty cool when you got Bone Thugs and Harmony and Stone Bone doing an intro for you. You know, kind of makes you feel like you're somebody. You know, I guess. But, you know, I kind of want to, start today. Well, I didn't even give an intro, did I? Shows where my head is. It's in Wisconsin. I kind of want to start today's show off on a Richard Simmons aspect. And I know both of you gentlemen will understand the route I'm going to.
Well, you're
when you look at the founder, the creator, and all the aspects that go into this development, what are your thoughts on Jim Jitsu? And I'm going to start with you first, MF Beck.
Jim, love him some Jim. I saw him make a post the other day where it showed
I'm
like
on
an
the
angle
air.
To the camera natural. Huh?
Who's this?
Who's what?
Oh.
I apologize. I had two calls going at once. Go ahead. Who is me on speaker?
Oh, it all started when you had
to call.
What did you do? The audio is all messed up.
Got it. Echo
is it better now?
On right now.
There we go. All right, let's get back to the first. I already screwed this show up, so let's get back. What are your thoughts on Jim Jitsu, MF Beck?
I think Jim loved him some Jim. I think he loved all about Jim. Like, I saw him make a post. He did, like a screen capture or whatever, a Max's fight. And you saw, like, he just had to put himself in the picture, right? And it's just funny to me how we had to make it all about him, like, no matter what was happening. Now he's, coaching Momo, and he's got fucking KGB going on again. Yeah, Jim is Jim. I'm not going to lie. Like, obviously, the guy's got something that he does that teaches right. Now, do I think that he makes it all about himself? Absolutely. But at the same time, I got to give credit where credit's due. You know, Jim does teach some good fucking shit.
Yeah, well, you know.
But he loves him some him, though, so I can't give him too much fucking credit because it's all about him. You know, like, if they do good, it's because of him. If they do bad, it's because of them.
Oh, shit. Oh, well, you know, Anthony Fluffy Hernandez, a tremendous fighter, came up a little bit short. You know, that was kind of a sad night because that's truly one of the fighters that I really respect out of MMA Gold. But I'm going to jump to you, Johnny, because I know you're a little prevalent. You're a little bit more boisterous about the aspects, the thoughts of Jim Jitsu.
Jim Jitsu wasn't working Saturday night, bro. But, bro, I mean, respect, though. I mean, he I can't take nothing away from him. All I can do is add to his big-headedness, though. You know what I mean? That's all. I mean, he does good shit. You know what I mean? I've trained with the guy before. He's good. He's good in that way, man. you know. But, like, some of the posts that kind of rubbed me the wrong way when he posted up was he posted up, you know, hey, our fighters were trained. We trained them. They know. They listen to coaching. You know, he said all this preparation that he's helped prepare, you know. And then he goes, unfortunately, Fluffy has to learn distance, manage his distance a little bit better. Well, how about you say as a coach, I need to work with my fighter more on distance. Besides, you know, hey, Fluffy needs to work on his distance more and getting carried away or whatever. But that's what I got from his post and a little underlying issue, you know.
That's just because he don't understand distance himself, so Fluff got to learn it on his own.
Well, and for the most part, but that's how Fluffy fights, though, dude. He hits you with that blitz, and a lot of people can't take it. Well, this dude was, you know, seemed a little prepared for it, man, you know.
Yeah, you know, I understand that. You know, I look back to a certain aspect where, you know, he had correlated himself with Andre KGB Lee and, you know, McMaynard from the UFC and me and Donnie Aaron, we got all involved in this. And Jim and Dave Hirschbein have taken credit for a lot of the corner time and the training of Andre KGB Lee and the creation of. And I got an inner office memo, you know, and kind of talked to Donnie Aaron about it. Truth come to be known that they were being paid to be in the corner. You know, they were being paid to be an aspect. So, you know, they basically, it'd be like, you know, ride along with a cop. You know, you pay for that aspect. You know, so I just kind of wanted to bring that up because I know a lot of names are being attached to MMA Gold. You know, and truly, when you look at it from a distance, it looks like, you know, everybody's correlated. But when you really look at it with a microscope, Marion Renault truly hardly ever trains there. Andre KGB Lee lives in Louisiana. You know, how could a gym take that aspect and call them their fighters if they truly aren't there 5, 6, 7 days a week?
Is that a serious question? Are you kidding? Like, look at those guys. They used to have motherfuckers, like, they would call us in to sparring. Like, we got to get a team picture. We got to show everybody how dominant this team is. We got to show everybody how, you know, how cohesive of a unit we are. So let's just put on a giant front, put it on social media and shit. But just like what you said, it's like, when Momo was there, it's like, they made it a point that when KGB or Momo or anybody that comes in there, they make sure that they were only there the time that Aspen was there. Like, if the rest of the team was there, they wouldn't even want them to be there because they don't want anybody else to be there. Let alone any of the other fucking coaches catch wind of it, you know what I mean? That's just the way it fucking goes over there. Because you can't take it away from Jim, you can't take it away from Dave. They do everything, it's all because of them, it's all the fucking game, you know what I mean? It's just the way it fucking goes over there.
Cash, what are you doing on your phone over there, bro? It sounds like
I'm driving to get my kid.
Oh, that's what it is. You know,
I'll park in a few minutes.
You know, we talked about this last week, and I kind of want to talk about it this week because there's been 27 more reported beatings, and there's actually been 2 deaths accredited to people being beaten from this aspect. Why is it that the hate is being devoured against people that wear Make America Again a Great hat? You know, I don't get the meaning of it. I don't get where the hatred is coming from. Why are people going out of their way that would usually never take their life out of, you know, that type of context to go and beat somebody up for wearing just a simple hat that represents their thoughts?
I think like some of the hat, yeah, the hat may be their thoughts, but the person that's wearing the hats and the shit that, you know, he's done, and then the people that, also people that wear the hats that probably do shit that have no idea what the fuck Donald Trump is about. They just throw the hat on because they know, you know, people that Donald Trump associated himself with have been racist and white supremacists. So, you know, that's what they symbolize that hat with, you know. And whoever's wearing it, that's all they see is that hat and being, you know, that symbol, you know. Is it shitty that, you know, that hat is a symbol? Fuck yeah, it is. You know what I mean? But, you know, I don't know. It just, what if somebody else wore, you know, something different, you know?
that bandanas are influenced, you know, are thought to be gang affiliated. You know, it's just, I don't know. It sucks.
So what are we going to have? We're going to have a gang of Make America Great motherfuckers standing on the corner posted up. You know, this country's getting pathetic, man. You know, what are the aspects of Cash 916 coming out in a Make America Again, Great Again hat in a performance?
Nah, I ain't wearing that shit, dog.
I'll pay you, bruh.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah, you're not enough, G.
Oh, you don't want to see our country great again?
Not enough, bro. Great again? When has it ever been great? I think it's the greatest it's ever been. Right now, to tell you the truth, it's the greatest it's ever been.
Yeah, see, you a rapper, man. You're supposed to rap.
I stay away from the political.
Oh, so you're not a political rapper?
Nah, hell nah. It's just like political comedians and political rappers. That shit, man, they stay away from that. It tends to be kind of boring. Unless you're talking shit, unless you're YG or something, you know, you could make a whole fucking anthem about it.
Yeah. You know, I ended up doing the plight of the Palestinian people last week. I ended up doing a show. We kind of talked about it a little bit. I ended up having one of the number one activists for the Palestinian people, who is now construed to be the number three terrorist in the world, on my show. You know, and I had to sit back and I had to think about all of the things that have been contrived after the show. And I got to tell you, you know, I expected a shit ton of hate. I expected a lot of animosity. But I think for the first time, people actually listened instead of went off of what they felt or went off what they believed. And they got to hear people from a third world country talk about how their parents can't go home and be buried where they grew up, how they only get 4 hours of electricity when the government decides to give it to them, if they get water that day. You know, and all these aspects that, you know, perplex this lifestyle. And you know, it even drew me in further. It was an aspect of a show that I think for the first time, I think the country is kind of turning around. I think certain aspects are being, you know, not ridiculed or scrutinized, but they're being looked at and heard. And I think it's a new transition that's inspiring in this country, and I'm glad to see it, because, to be honest with you, to bring on a gentleman of Palestinian descent and pretty much, you know, make some true factual statements about how our country treats our immigrants, but also to bring on an activist, and hardly get any hate. But what I got was call after call after call on the show of how people that correlated themselves with these gentlemen in life didn't really know the true struggle. You know, MF, when you look at a situation as touchy as that one, and then you hear a show, and then you got people that walk side by side with you calling in on the show on a worldwide radio show and saying, I never knew it was that bad. I never knew that you had to go through that much. I never knew you had to live this struggle. What does it mean for you as a man seeing society go one way, another way, and now you're starting to see an aspect of real wanting to be perplexed? What would you have taken away from that show or that thought?
Probably because, like, just what you said, it's real, you know. Because a lot of the times, and I'm guilty of it as well, and I'm sure we all are, you know. When it comes down to it, sometimes we just got so much shit going on in our lives that we don't really think about it, or, you know, the person could be quiet about what they're saying. This goes on a lot of aspects. A lot of people don't talk about their struggles, you know what I mean? So when somebody comes out and openly professes all their struggles on live radio, you know, people get it like, oh, shit, like, you know, he's saying it live, like, this is some real shit, like, he didn't keep this in, nothing, and then the people kind of feel like a sense of guilt, you know, because how long have I known this motherfucker, but I didn't know anything about his struggle. But the question is like, did you take any time to really, you know, think about his struggle, or even ask about his struggle, or even, you know, try to understand where he's coming from. You know, everybody's got their own shit, but people from over there, bro, it's like, it's war-torn, war-ridden, you know what I mean? That's just how it is. Like, people over here that were born in the U.S. will never, ever understand what it's like to be born into a civilization to where you know nothing but warfare and battle, you know, and crazy, stupid shit is always happening. People are fucking dying. You know, like what Travis was talking about, the fucking Yemenis. Like, fucking starvation, bro, like, more people died of starvation than of the fucking Holocaust. Like, that's fucking wild. You know, but at the same time, it's like, we got so much shit going on in our lives, and I'm talking like just people in general. You know, a lot of times we're going to be distracted. There's going to be other shit that we got going on, and maybe, you know, we just didn't take a little time to, you know, ask somebody how their day was. But it's crazy when people come out with stories like that, because it kind of hits you for like as, like a sucker punch, you know what I mean? Like, you didn't expect it. You thought you was cool. You know, you thought you knew everything about this person, or at least enough. You know, and then all of a sudden they start talking about their struggles, and you're like, fuck, dude, like, I didn't even know. Like, I, you know. And that's when the guilt starts fucking coming in. That's when people want to call and want to talk because they got to, you know, get rid of that fucking guilt. You know, we're all guilty of that shit, too. Don't get it twisted. There's a lot of people out there struggling that nobody got the time or effort to even think about that shit, dude. I don't like talking about my struggles. Like, Johnny, I don't know about you, like Don, but it's like, I don't like talking about my struggles, man. So it's like when you get somebody who openly will profess their shit, like, kudos to them, dude. Kudos to fucking them. You know, and it speaks volumes because maybe it'll give other people, you know, courage to speak up for what they think or courage to, you know, finally speak up for the shit that they've been dealing with, the shit they feel, you know? Like, how many motherfuckers have killed themselves because they let that shit fucking bottle up too much inside? And, you know, people are like, oh, I didn't even know he was depressed. It's like, yeah, but did you take the time out of your fucking day to even, like, you know, to look beyond the fucking obvious shit? That's my opinion.
Yeah. You know, Cash, when you look at the whole equation, the whole story, and you hear MF's thoughts, you know, it had me sitting back thinking about, you know, the true aspects of his thoughts and the meaning that he contrived from it. What are your thoughts, brother?
Yeah, it's along the same lines. You know what I mean? It's rare that you get somebody to open up or somebody to even look from the outside of to look in at you. You know what I mean? Everybody gets a preconceived notion of what you are. They prejudge you. Or where you're from, or the color of your skin, or how you dress. And sometimes we don't get to know the real people or the real struggle. You know, ask me, you know, we don't take the time to want to know why that person is dressed the way they are, or why, you know, or get to know what part of the country they're from if they're not from here, or, you know, or to look at somebody's tattoos and be like, hey, man, let me peep those out, you know, and to look, because a lot of times people's tattoos tell a story. If you just take the time, you know, and the talk, you know, MF hit it on the head, dude. I mean, that's what I got from it. Like, finally, you know, some people will wait for that release, wait for somebody to ask you, hey, how's it going? Or, hey, you know, just to get to know you, you know. He took the words out of my mouth.
You know, it broke my soul, bro. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I know when, you know, they talk about the water, the power, and things of that. I already knew all that aspect. But to sit there and have them tell a story, you know, that their village was like 5,326 people, and they came in and they slaughtered almost 2,500 to 3,000 of those people from that same village in one fell swoop, you know, killing innocent men, women, and children. It broke me. It was like, you know, we come on here, and I mean, let's face it, let's call it like it is. We come on here, we don't bitch, but we share our thoughts about fucking transgenders, homosexuals, and the way things are here in America. But when you fucking really take the world and look at it in an hourglass, we don't have shit to complain about. We really don't have shit to complain about. I mean, I cannot fathom growing up, knowing that I grew up in a place, and to go back and know that over half of the people that I grew up with were murdered in one fell swoop. And this is on the daily. I mean, think about it. we bitch about, well, we got a headache, our back hurts, or our day at work went bad, or my track didn't come out right tonight. But when you really sit back and think about it, and think about the stories that are truly being hidden, the untold truths, MF, do we really have anything to bitch about?
Well, you got to look at it like, you hear people say it all the time, right? Like the, oh, I can't complain, I can't complain. But when you look at it in hindsight, it's almost like we should be saying, like what you said, like, I shouldn't be complaining. Real shit, you know? It's like with the joke about first world problems, right? People always fucking crack jokes about it. And when you look at it, it's like the shit that we consider fucking, you know, detrimental will affect our fucking emotions for the whole day. Other people did, like, they're not even worried about it. You know what I mean? They're worried about where their next meal's coming from. They're worried about, you know, am I going to even sleep tonight? Am I going to catch a bullet in the head? Is a fucking random grenade going to fucking go off behind my shit? You know, like, there's a whole lot of shit that some parts of the world got to worry about that people over here can't even comprehend, bro. You know, so it's like, you know, I can't complain. Fuck no, you shouldn't complain. Not over here. Like what Johnny said, we got it fucking the easiest and the best it's ever been over here. The only difference is, like, look at it this way. Like, the reason why people bitch so much about what's happening right now is because it's so good, because it's so easy, because life is so accommodating that you can bitch about all the minor shit. So think about it, dude. Like, the more people bitch, the better off life is. Isn't that fucking ironic?
Yeah. Hey, we have a call from the 916. I'm going to go ahead and take it. I don't know who it is, but I'll go ahead and take it. And if it's absurd, I will hang up on you. Simple as that. Caller, you're on the air with a Fighter's Voice. How can I help you?
My name's Rob Sharp, and I just called to wish that MF-er a happy MF-ing birthday.
Oh, Rob, what's up, dude? Thank you.
Man, you gotta give him crap, bro. You can't just be all nice to him like that.
You can't. Well, we're real-life girlfriends, so it's different in real life, you know what I'm saying?
How dare you put that on the air?
I hear you guys talking about the subjective nature of complaints over there.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
I was listening this morning to a book called The Supreme Self. I don't remember the gentleman's name who wrote it, but it talks a lot about how we shouldn't really complain about anything because it weakens our soul. It weakens our supreme self. And I agree that it's hard to complain about things over here in the first world. I do think that most people are unaware of the actual problems that they face here. They complain about my neck and my back. But most people don't realize the economic situation in this country and in all countries with the fiat money system. You're only about 10 days away from starvation. You know? Your neighbors are two meals away from being animals. We're not very far removed from those people in Yemen. We're just insulated by the falsehood of the shiny veneer that America has on it.
Yeah, you know, I like that aspect, and you know, I would like to add to that. You know, a lot of people don't. You know, I did this show because this is my Wednesday show. This is our kick off your shoes, have fun show. But I do four, you know, syndicated shows a week on true based topics, sport and all. But last Thursday, as you heard me say, I took up the plight of the Palestinian people. And, you know, one thing that really broke my heart, you know, you're sitting in your house, or MF is sitting in his, we're all comfortable. But ponder this thought. A family's driving by your house that happens to be Israeli, and you're a Palestinian, and they decide they like your house. And so they tell the government, hey, I like this house. The government shows up at your house and opens the door and tells you you got to leave, and you got to leave everything that's in it behind. You know, that's a thought that people here in America would never understand, but it's everyday actuality over in a third world country.
I agree with you to a degree. Eminent domain's a real thing here. It's happening with the wall. On the border, that's a thing, and it's a thing in America. You just are removed from it because they don't publish stories like that in the news. But it happens every day here too. My perspective on Israel and Palestine has shifted a little bit. I was just a few weeks ago on speaking with an anarchist friend. I'm an anarchist, or more accurately, a voluntarist or an anarcho-capitalist. And just for some clarity there, my belief system is based consent. You know, we hear all the time about consent-based society, consent-based this and that, but nobody takes it to its logical conclusion. So my defining belief is the golden rule, right? You just extend to others the courtesy that you would see extended to yourself, whether that's just in niceness or violence or whatever it is. So with Israel and Palestine, it's like when you complain outwardly about this one state that's like the size of Connecticut and what they're doing, and they do it with our aid and they do it with our blessing, and they were set up after World War II as a homeland for the Jewish people illegally against all international law. I don't deny any of that. I'm just saying when we focus on any one nation's shittiness, it puts this myopic view unnecessarily on one tiny aspect of what's happening in the world.
Okay, well, let's add some clarity to it. Not to cut you off, but let's add another defining aspect to it that's happened on our own soil. I'm Native American. You know, the English settlers came over here. We fed them. They took our land. They forced us into, you know, little aspects, little portions, specks of land, and felt that we benefited from that.
I get your
thoughts on the aspect of taking one little microscopic aspect from a third world country, but it's also being perplexed here. Look at the plight of the American Indian people.
I'm also Native. I disagree with that perspective. And if you familiarize yourself with the entirety of all of the nations across America, the majority of those sovereign nations, quote unquote, kept slaves. They counted coup. They killed women and children. They did the same things that white folks were doing. Now, where the white people came to the eastern seaboard and they encountered peaceful tribes as they got more inland, these motherfuckers were not peaceful. The Mohawk were not peaceful. The Cree were not peaceful. The Crow, Blackfoot, they were savage, badass motherfuckers. So I used to tout that narrative myself. I have Native genetics as well. I have ancestors that were on both sides of the Civil War. Who do I cheer for? The oppressed or the oppressor? Who do I mourn for? The oppressed or the oppressor? It all comes down to aggression. And if one side is practicing aggression within their own whims and their own will, how can you blame the other side? We can't, like, if you take a step back and you say, for instance, oh, these people were subjugated and subdued. Yeah, but were they subjugating and subduing before that? It's really easy to put one group of people without the whole picture into a frame and say, oh, like, these natives, they were all like kumbaya and they loved each other. Fuck no, they weren't. They had strong borders. They had heavily guarded hunting trails, and they were very violently aggressive about defending these things and even pushing their own territories out.
They were very territorial. Let me add one more aspect to that then. Then you go to the aspects and the Inuits and the different aspects of the Mexicans that controlled the other half of the United States before we knew it as the United States. They were a peaceful sovereign nation. They were peaceful people. When you throw that aspect up in there, how can you define that aspect?
Because you're viewing it through the lens of 20th century American exceptionalism. And we weren't there. We don't fucking know. But what we do know is that the tribes, the Toltec, the Olmec, and the Aztec, were violent as fuck. They sacrificed people to the sun god because they believed that if they didn't make these sacrifices, the sun would not rise and the stars would fall from the sky. It's so easy to look at these things through the lens of, in the context of where we live and how we view things now. It's not the way it was. You know, don't get me wrong, though. Like, I pissed on Custer's graves in Fort Riley, Kansas. Like, I would have gone to prison if they caught me doing it. I was there visiting friends. I fucking pissed on that motherfucker's headstone. But, so, like, I have my feelings on it, you know? I'm just saying, like, it's so easy to view through a lens and a context that is so far removed from what life was like then that you can't, it's impossible to do. And to do it is to do an injustice to the history of it. I think the best thing that we can do as individuals, not collectively, but as individuals, is to study these histories and to understand what people were like and to practice non-aggression in our own lives. And I don't mean non-violence. I mean non-aggression.
You know, I like that. And the reason I posed those questions to you that way was to come up in a roundabout aspect. You know, now we can most certainly speak about the Palestinian people and the plight, and we could speak about that aspect because that is current. I brought up the other two aspects because, you know, everybody looks at history a little bit different. Everybody has, you know, their own aspects and their own critiques. But then you take it to today's society. You take it to the hate aspects. You take it to the fear-mongering. You take it to the aspects that we as people portray ourselves now. Do you see a decline in human nature, or do you see an increase in human prosperity as we speak on the phone today?
We're at the most prosperous time in humanity's known history. There are fewer people in poverty today than there were 10 years ago, 10 years before that, and 10 years before that. There are fewer people that are hungry than there were 10 years ago, 10 years before that, and 10 years before that. I would say that among the individuals that I know, there is less hate in the heart because life is easier at this time. But as we know, hard times make strong men. Strong men conquer hard times. Strong men make easy times. Easy times make weak men. And we are in a time of ease where our men are becoming weak. And at this point, I think because humans seek out chaos, if everything is fine, it's just like the rat experiment. Everything can be fine and perfectly ordered and oriented, and everything's there and provided for you. And people will throw a fucking wrench in that gear every time. Someone will throw a wrench in that gear just to fuck shit up because it's our nature. We're animals.
You know, I honestly like you. MF, why have you been hiding your girlfriend?
I haven't. I've been telling this motherfucker to call in quite a few times. See, me, Rob and I have many a conversation over a good chess game about exactly what we're talking about. I've been waiting for him to call in. I figure you'd get a kick out of
it. The reason that I don't engage very much is because I put people off. Because when you fucking slap people in the face with the dick of truth, they get really unsettled and they are not happy about it. And when you topple people's really like fragilely balanced ideas that, for instance, like cops won't confiscate guns and the troops fight for freedom and our sovereign song is not a slave chasing song. They do not like these fucking things because they don't examine things, like I said, in the context of their own time. They do it through a very myopic lens of the 21st century. When you push at somebody and you say, when you ask somebody, for instance, somebody could say, oh, the troops fight for freedom. And you say, really? How did my freedoms get to the Middle East? Or, like, could you give me an example of that post-World War II? They know consciously or subconsciously that they can't. And in a roundabout way, I'm trying to get to the point that the reason that I haven't come on is because I don't want to push any of Joe's friends' buttons and bum anyone out.
Oh, bro.
That's half the fun.
We invite that is the context of this show. See, the one thing that was tremendous when I was put on iHeartRadio, Univision, and 26 other platforms, you know, a few years back, I had already done, you know, commercial radio with ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, and all that. And I wanted to create a show, so I got with MF, and we decided to create a show where we could come on. We don't have to agree to agree. We could do a show, but as long as at the end of the show that we all agree that we walk away brothers, you know. And 2 weeks ago, for instance, me and Cash 916, who's on the show with us, we had a disagreement. I didn't agree with his thought, you know, and he truly didn't, you know, agree with my thought. But at the end of the show, we walk away as brothers. And I think that's something that we could teach society. I think that's what the show is teaching society, because the show is growing in numbers, and it's growing vastly. You know, what are your thoughts on creating an environment such as this where people can come, speak their true thoughts, but still walk away as one?
Well, I think that definitions are important, like Jordan Peterson says. I think that a lot of times, like, people don't study philosophy enough. It's dead in schools, and they don't, the trivium, spirit, logic, and reason, right? Like, people don't study those things. Kids are completely unaware of these concepts. And so when you engage in a discussion with someone or a debate, you know, there's rules in a debate, just like there are in a fight, in a sanctioned fight. But in these discussions, like you have now in the news, like feels Trump facts, right? Like, that's fucking insanity. And I think that the reason these conversations can't happen, though the long-form conversation is becoming more popular, I don't think that most people are up for discussions or debates because they're not equipped well enough with an opposing thought to even formulate a valid argument. Most people don't even know what a fucking logical fallacy is.
Be careful.
Like, it's so difficult to have a conversation with somebody because there's so many presuppositions. They just assume that X is true without having ever actually examined whether or not X is actually true. So,
well, you know,
your
it
question
is tremendous.
How can you
go
bring
ahead.
This to society is what you asked, right?
Yes, sir.
I think that the most important or the best way to do it is to keep having your conversations, to clearly define your terms, and to engage people on a level that is not catering to a crowd, but allow yourself, like you said, your numbers have grown, to just continue to attract the people that you can. And if you're having intelligent conversations, you're going to attract the people that you're supposed to attract. And those people will go out into life with the flower petals and continue that further growth.
Yeah. Hold on one second. You know, MF and Johnny, I don't know who's talking, but don't be rude and interrupt your boy. The thing of it is it has grown. It's significantly grown. We've been doing this show for about 3.5 years. You know, the thing about this show was it was an aspect that we felt that needed to be, and we didn't know where it was going to go. And it has taken off. It's taken the life of Pat Miletich, who is a conspiracy theorist and aspects. But we've brought everybody on the show from a man of God to whatever. I had a man of God on the show, and we spoke about
the Define man of God, please. Sorry.
He's a preacher. And
okay.
I told him, you know, I'm Catholic, you know, and God said we're all sinners. Why should I have to go to confession and confess my sins to a man who is no better than I? A man
because
that
it's the earliest
is just as much
form
as a sinner.
Of a control file. Sorry.
Yeah.
Just get a bag of chips.
The two most fascinating things to me in life are warfare and religion. The two most repulsive things to me in life are warfare and religion. You're a practicing Catholic?
No, I'm a baptized Catholic. A church is just a place where people go and should have fellowship, but it's even been defined, and that aspect's been taken away, in my opinion. In my opinion now, most of the aspects that occur on Sunday aren't really the man behind the pulpit, but it really is an aspect for people to, you know, truly just integrate themselves, give out business cards, help propel themselves as an individual in life. Church isn't the aspect that it was. I'm 53 years old, by the way. So I look at it as an aspect that has the true aspect of church is gone, you know, in my opinion. But where I went, and MF was on that show when we had the man of God on, you know, and it was at the point where the Catholic Church had been brought down to its knees for the pedophile aspect that was being construed in the Catholic society. You know, to me, no man is greater than me. You know, I was conceived by the grace of God. My parents gave birth to me. To me, church is nothing but a place, a building. To me, you know, why, like I said earlier, why should I have to go and confess my sins to a man that may be a pedophile, a man that is no greater of a man than me, a man that is a sinner? You know, that aspects of my heart and thought are still truly complex because I don't think church and state should belong together. I think that the aspect of church is a fallacy in some aspects. What are your thoughts?
Sure, girls, get your stuff.
So my on that subject, I think that religion is the greatest sin. I think that this is just my opinion. You take it or leave it. Like you said, you walk away friends at the end of the day. I think
almost
that.
Definitely.
Okay, so Christ is within all of us. Christ never said you had to worship me. Christ never said you have to. He said through me it is through me that you shall reach the Father. But he said that heaven and hell are within all of us, and that Christ is we are Christ, right? We all have the power to do miracles. I'm going to send a link to MF so he can send it to you, this book that I was listening to this morning. I think that the Gnostics had it the best. Are you familiar with Gnosticism at all?
Not too in-depth, but I would be eager to learn more.
It's effectively the idea that Jesus was a mystic and that Jesus wasn't literally, he didn't die on the cross. He didn't lay in death in a tomb for 3 days. It was a ritual that was practiced the world over. And the three-day resurrection ritual. It's basically the idea. Mysticism is just the idea that there's nothing between you and God, that you can speak to God. And I think what the Roman Catholics did by taking soul, the God's soul, and supplanting it upon Jesus' story, because Jesus' story is not the first time that it occurred, right? It occurred in the Egyptian pantheon, the Greek and Roman pantheons. Like, he's not the first fucking one. That story is way older than Christ. His story, the Immaculate Conception, his entire story is stolen. It's not his. And the Roman Catholics took and created through the Council of Nicaea, they created this church because they wanted a state religion for a long time because they knew that the Roman Emperor was collapsing. They knew that the Roman Empire was collapsing, and so they took this religion and they put upon the world the greatest fucking travesty that had ever been done. And people subverted themselves to this religion, and in doing so, they lost their connection with spirit. And I think it's why we tumbled so far into an age of total and constant warfare, theft and rape, because we moved away from spirit, because we forgot that we were spirit. And that we had to go through some creepy dude in a dress in order to speak to spirit. And I struggled with a long time for that. I had a lot of hatred for religion and the papacy and so on and so forth.
Hello?
But I don't think that, I think that the reality of it is that we've been duped with religion, all religions,
no,
all of them.
In the car together, so I'm like kind of over here huddled trying to be quiet.
So sorry, my wife had to take a phone call, so I gotta shut up for a minute.
Oh, you're okay. Well, you know, I would love to have you back on the show next week if you'd honor me.
Yeah, if I can. I'm really busy. We're moving to Texas next Thursday, so
You know what,
but if I can, I'll get on.
Most definitely. You know, I'll let you say some final parting words to your girlfriend, MF, back there, and we'll go ahead and continue the show. Thank you so much for speaking so articulate and eloquently on the show today. MF?
Thanks for hearing me. Google voluntarism.
Yeah.
Be non-aggressive. And be awesome to each other. MF, I'll see you this Saturday, baby. You keep that pussy frothy.
Sounds good, brother.
Thank you for calling in, bro. I really appreciate it.
Mute me, please, so I can keep listening.
Okay, here we go. Okay.
He just had to say some shit like that at the end, but that's why I love that motherfucker, too.
Oh, the
truth comes out. I stopped by 7-Eleven and grabbed a Monster and some beef jerky. Bro, I'm high, and I was enjoying everything he was saying, bro.
Yeah, that dude was pretty dope, man.
Little Mary, that's actually my fucking brother-in-law. He's married to my sister.
You know, consider yourself lucky, man, because actually there's somebody in your family smarter than you.
It depends on how you look at it. He's got his strong points. Like, dude, like, we have these chess games that go on for, like, 2-3 hours, dude. Like, I mean, like, one fucking game. And he and I will bounce thoughts and fucking, you know, actions and all kinds of other things. I mean, like, he's educated in his way. I'm educated in my way. You know what I mean? He's definitely smarter than me in a lot of aspects. Same thing with, like, with fucking Travis. You know, like, Travis is super science-oriented. That's why I fucking love it. It's like, you surround yourself with intelligent people. It doesn't mean you got to be the smartest motherfucker, but it's like, people are going to be smart in other areas, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bro, listen to this. I sent both of you motherfuckers a song yesterday, or the day before. Look, bro, look. But so I'm gonna say the end part. I'm gonna say the end part of these lyrics because it goes exactly what MF is talking about. Listen, I said, you don't wanna rap with niggas that rap. You're on a track with niggas that trap. I mean, iron sharpens iron. I'll leave it at that. Surround yourself with niggas that better your craft. Boom. That's it. I just said those lyrics in a song I sent to you guys a couple days ago.
I got all four of them bitches. I fucking, dude, man, that line you said about showing up, that shit had me dying.
That was a dope one, too.
You know, I think it's incredible when we can, you know, it's like he said, you know, that it's kind of different to be able to have a show that where you can come on and correlate, debate, share your thoughts, and still walk away as one. And that's the aspect I love of this show, you know, and that's why I'm glad he called in today because, you know, it made a difference. You know, you look back to the early times when we first started the show, the kid that called in and wanted our thoughts on where he should take his girlfriend of 3 years to. Now we're discussing huge political aspects and atrocities in life and our thoughts, but yet allowing others to come in and share their thoughts. You know, is one right? Is one wrong? That's not for us to decide. You know, we're here to debate our thoughts. We're here to share our thoughts and equate the value of what we take from each situation and share with each other. You know, at the end of the show, it's a wrap. Whether you agreed with that person or disagreed with that person, the value and the intent of the show is still there. But I think the greatest aspect of it is once we're not live on the air anymore, we still walk away as one. And I think society can learn from that. You know, I know not all society is going to get the show. I know it's not going to be everybody's cup of tea. But when you look at the harsh reality, not everybody wants to know the truth. Not everybody wants to know the facts. You know, most people are so quick to see a statement and believe it without backtracking. And do I feel that he put me in my place on the American Indian aspect? No, it's an added value. It's an added aspect to the show that defines the show even that much more.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Don, but you actually have a fucking tremendous point right there. By what you're talking about, it was just added value to it. Like, why did it become to where all of a sudden, you know, somebody laces me up on some game. Somebody, you know, enlightens me to a particular situation. When the fuck was that all of a sudden them putting me down and putting me in my place? Like, maybe they just educated me on one aspect and now just gave me a broader fucking thing. Like, when did it turn into that? You know what I mean? When did it happen to where somebody could give you some information to help your fucking view? You know, when did it become putting you in your place? Like, fuck no. I love that you guys had that fucking conversation.
Oh, yeah, it was dope, man. I took away everything in the world from that because... You know, most people, like you said, they would have been, man, you know what? Fuck you, bro.
A lot of people get turned off by him, bro. Like, I'm not lying. A lot of people get turned off by him. Something serious. Like, they get in these fucking, like, they'll get into this debate, and then, like, they get so frustrated because they can't fight back because they don't have anything to fight with, and they just fucking blow off the end and just kind of fucking lose their shit, so.
Well, see, that's the thing. That's the word you use, fight. See, I never go into a debate. I never go into discussion with the thought of it coming out in a brutal or aspect of wanting to fight somebody. You know, first and foremost, I'll be the first one to admit, I don't know everything, nor does he. There's going to be topics that, if he does come back on the show, that I'm more in depth. I know more about than he does, and will equate and add value to his thoughts. But that's the whole thing. We add to each other. That's what this show is about, people. It's adding value to each other's thoughts. It's not
well, it's
one person get on here
meal.
And yeah, well, it's not getting on here and oh my
you know
dick
I mean?
Is bigger than yours. You know, it's not a pissing contest.
Bro, you go to a restaurant and you want a meal. You just don't want one piece of fucking meat. Man, I want a little bit of potatoes. Give me that. Give me those greens right there. How about I want a drink? You know what I mean? It's like that makes one whole meal. You know what I mean? You can't listen to somebody. You can't have a debate with somebody and not be open-minded. You know what I mean? We do it in fighting and sparring. When you're shadow boxing, you're fucking boxing yourself. So you're seeing where you're open at. And if you go into shadow boxing with a jiu-jitsu attitude and you're only looking at yourself to see how good you look rather than try to find your faults or see where you're vulnerable at, that's where you fuck up and fall, bro. You know what I mean? Because you're trying to look pretty. You're trying to pose for the camera. You know what I'm saying? You're trying to put on a front until actually somebody hits you with where you're vulnerable at. Then you're like, ooh, fuck, I didn't see that coming. If you'd have been doing it right the first time, you'd have seen it coming. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I can't wait till the next time we have him on the show, to be quite honest with you. You know, it'll make me dig in my bag of tricks and think of that much more, you know,
it's educational.
Of topics.
Just educational. Now I'm going to go look at, you know, some of the shit he was saying or look deeper into stuff that, you know, come on. You know, if that doesn't, you have to surround yourself with people that's going to better you. You know what I mean? Sharpen you up.
Yeah.
Hey, well, apparently he's still on the line, I guess. I don't know if you want to like take that, bring his ass back on, but he said unmute him, and I'm like, unmute you? I'm like, I'm so confused.
Well, he asked me to mute him so he can listen to the show. I'll unmute him. Let me unmute him. Oh, if it's going to let me, hold on. I have to refresh the board because sometimes it wants to give me a little havoc, but yeah, we'll most definitely unmute him and bring him back on. Yeah, he's on now.
Thank you, gentlemen. What's the brother's name that was just speaking a minute ago? Not MS.
Johnny, Cash 916.
Johnny, Cash 916. What you were saying about like sharpening your skills and stuff, I totally agree with you. But back to the point about making definitions. You know, discussions are great. They're great. They expand our minds and they do unite us with other people who may or may not disagree with us on common ground. But a debate is an entirely different beast. It is a fucking fight. You better be sharp. Your shit better be well-researched, well thought out. And if you're bringing a dogma, you're going to get destroyed. But it is a fight, and there's a stark contrast between a discussion and a debate. And when I said people need to define terms more, that's to that point. So if you want to have a debate with somebody, like a formal debate with somebody, which is great because people love that shit because it's an intellectual fight. People, you know, you're in there fucking boxing it out, jabbing, kicking, bringing your points, counters, catching fools on fucking logical fallacies. But you got to have a moderator. You got to have a ref. A discussion's different. You could just burn one down, sip one back, have a discussion. Oh, I see what you're saying. I got you. I get where you're coming from. You know what I mean? I see what you're saying. You can still call each other on logical fallacies, but they're completely different beasts. And a debate, the way that it was done in the day with Socrates and Plato, these dudes who pioneered this shit, that's how society figured shit out. Should we have welfare? Let's debate it. Should we go to war? Let's debate it. Sober and then drunk. Like, you know, like, that's what I'm saying. These definitions, you got to have definitions, because if you don't define things clearly, you get yourself into some muddy waters where, like, at the end of the day, you were saying, I can disagree with somebody or somebody could be right or wrong. People are right or wrong, and it is the objective nature of discussion that illustrates these things. And sometimes you can't have, like, real talks with people because they feel like they're right because of their feelings. But they're wrong on data, on information, on the long form. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I'm sure you probably heard me say that. I like the aspect that you added value to where we're talking about.
And I appreciate it. Like, I like talking to people. I don't like Joe's the only dude I get to talk to other than my wife about intellectual content, because people are fucking stupid, boys. They're spare fucking parts.
Yeah, that's why we have this show, you know. And you know, like I wasn't sure if you were still listening or not, but
no,
you know,
I was. I would just didn't want to.
Like I told MF, you know, I said at the end of the day, I'm glad you called into the show. You know, like I said, it added text, it added value, it added your thoughts and your opinions. And, you know, most people would get, you know, their ass all up in a bunch, their panties in a bunch, you know, that somebody came on and had a different directive, a different thought than they did, or, you know, changed their conclusion or their thought. To me, I appreciate that aspect. To me, you know, what I take away from what you said on today's show, like Johnny said, now he's going to go research and look at the aspects and the value that you brought to the show. That's how life should be. That's how people should be. You know, so what you brought to the show today, I commend you. You know, I respect you for that. You know, there's going to be situations that we talk on that I'm going to be more knowledgeable than you. And there's going to be others that you're significantly more knowledgeable than me. But why can't we share that with the world?
Because you and Johnny and MF and myself are part of the 3% and not the 3% militia. That's not a reference to militia. I'm talking about there's only 3% of people who aren't subject to groupthink or programming. Less than 3% of people are immune to that. And there's 4 people on the line right now who are immune to that. So consider the brevity of that. It's very hard to get a number of those people in the same thread. It's very hard.
I never looked at it that way.
Dude, that's a fucking numerical fact, and it's a scary son of a bitch, because when you think about all the people walking around you, they just, NFL – fucking, I'm at Bass Pro Shops right now. I'm walking up in this bitch, and that's everybody in there. That's everybody in this fucking store except for myself.
Like, you know, see, it's crazy because, you know, I'm originally from California. I moved out to the Midwest a little over 23 years ago. And I'm a person, and you may disagree with me, and that's fine. You know, I don't believe in racism. I believe in personal ignorance. And I had always taught myself this throughout my life. But then when I came out here and I seen signs that said, well, I always felt that it was something that could be changed at home, something that could be taught by your parents to break you away from the stigmata of how society is. And then I come out here to the Midwest and I see signs that say, nigger, don't let the sun go down on your back. Cousin, you are here, home of the KKK. And then I start getting pulled over by law enforcement and being called nigger, get out of the car. You know, and it made me relook.
Are you black, or were they talking about you as a prairie nigger?
Prairie nigger, you know.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
You know, I would get pulled over for going home because I'm an engineer by trade. I got my master's in engineering science, so I lived in the best part of town, and I would get, nigger, get out of your car. What are you doing in this part of town? Well, I live
here. Are you Lakota or are you California native?
I'm Cherokee, but my mother was born in Oklahoma, and they followed the migrant farm worker trail to San Francisco and the Bay Area, and then they ultimately settled in Sacramento. And,
so the Cherokee are the least loved of the native folks, right? Because every white family's got a Cherokee princess in their woodpile, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, because those are my people too, right? But I mean, to which I would say I totally agree with you. I think you're completely right. It is changed at home, but at the same time, like here in California, if you go up to Georgetown, that's fucking 40 miles from Sacramento. There's operating KKK up there.
Yeah.
If you go, I could take you to parts of California that are more like Appalachia. Are you when you lived in California, did you live in a city?
I lived in, well, I first originally lived in by Arden Fair Mall, and then I moved to Valley High. But
all right,
then I also lived in L.A., so.
again, there is that myopic view that's not to any fault of your own. But you grew up in this urban center where, quote unquote, racism wasn't as much of a problem. But it does fucking exist within that system. Leftist policies are subversively racist. Are you familiar with the economist, Thomas Sowell, Dr. Thomas Sowell?
What was that?
Are you familiar with the economist, Dr. Thomas Sowell?
No, I'm not.
Oh, boy, you better get your thumb wet and fucking start reading. That dude will blow your fucking mind. Anyways, racism exists, right? Because it is just the ugliest form of collectivism. So when people get together, they collectively are going to hate the other because the other is not them. And it's just human nature. It's human fucking nature. It existed within the tribes of America before the white man ever got here, and it exists now. It exists with black people, bro. If you're from L.A., I'm sure you're aware of how fucking racist Mexicans are towards Nicaraguans and Ecuadorians. They don't like black people. Mexicans in L.A., fucking cholos, do not like black people. Negros, they are fucking not cool. It's not an American phenomenon. This shit is worldwide. It's in our nature. Now, if you're a transcended person and you're above these things, then sure, you're going to get by them. But like I said, you're part of a 3% of the population that within, 36 million, 36 and a half million people in this country?
Yes.
So we walk around like, racism can just be fixed by teaching at home, right? But you can't deal with fucking Jethro on the corner there because he's so goddamn dumb. The best thing you could do is be kind to his kids.
Well, see, and I think you can add context to this statement that I'm going to make, because, you know, I believe that 98% of the country doesn't understand that this aspect still exists today. When I was a young man, and I was in, Long Beach and in Carson and Compton, people don't realize that there are aspects of life that people who have never been off the 6x6 block area, that is all they've known their whole life, because they cannot leave that area because they will be killed. You know, so what is transitioning there is you've got a gangbanger that was brought up in that situation who is now raising other children to be gangbangers because that's the only environment they know. What can we do as an American society, or is it just a society, to change that aspect or correlate a different path for these individuals? Because I'll be honest with you, when I was there, I worked for OP Sunway. And I was getting a ride home, and the gentleman stopped about 2 miles from where I lived. He said, I can't take you any further. And I said, I thought you were going to give me a ride home. He said, bro, I'll be killed. And so I had to walk the rest of the way home. And, you know, as I grew older and I thought about these situations, you know, it doesn't matter if you're family or not. They're going to kill you. You know, I remember one situation. We were out there by the Washington Center in Orange County. And I was with one of my, aspects of a cousin. And he said, I don't care if it's my cousin or if it's my, my nephew or whatever. They're going to get shot up. If they come up in my hood, they're going to get treated like everybody else. Where do you think that thought process was invoked? And how can we as a society change that or make people more aware of that type of situation?
It's collectivism. It's not, and that's what I mean by, like, it's not even racism. Girls, let's walk down to the pond over there so I can just have a couple more minutes and then we'll go inside the store. Down to the pond at the end of the building. It's collectivism. And like I said, racism, as Ron Paul said, is the ugliest form of collectivism. So those people in that 6x6 grid, they're collectively, they're together in that area. Those white people or those whatever people are collectively in that area. And anything outside of that is the other. And that's what governments use to create wars. The other side is the other. They're not you. They're less than. They're subhuman. And you can see that through war propaganda. From today all the way the fuck back till whenever, they're otherized. They're not you. And therefore, it's acceptable to kill and murder them. So it's not, it's collectivism. It's not racism. It's not gangbangerism. It's collectivism. When you get together with people and you stop observing the sovereignty of the individual, this is what happens. You can observe this through examinations of classical liberalism. Not today's neoliberalism, but like Thomas Jefferson, Frederick Bastiat. Those are coyote tracks, yes. You can look at these things. You can see them, you know. It's not the media and the way that we're educated in school kind of washes these ideas out of us because they give us, again, a myopic view of reality. It's very small. It's very limited in scope. And it's through a lens that's not applicable. And you said you asked about solutions. I think solutions, the primary one is to raise your kids and educate your own kids. You don't send your fucking kids off to Caesar and then wonder why they come back Roman. You don't do that. So vacate the public school system, compulsory school system. And then the next way is outreach. You throw off your fear and you go out and you reach out to people. There's a really good story about a man, a black musician from Chicago who has a collection of KKK robes and hats. You know how he got those KKK robes and hats? He went and he talked to those Jethros in the KKK, and he became friends with them. And over the years, these men would say things like, "Fuck, man, I can't be this racist person because I know you and I love you and you're a wonderful person. So I can't go on hating people. I know you and I love you and you're black. So how can I hate these others?" He has a collection of KKK robes and hats from Grand Wizards that they gave him. And now you want to look at guys like, it's fucking insane, right? But you can look at guys like Huey P. Newton. And seriously, bro, like this phenomenon of racism, it exists here in Sacramento. In the 1980s, the Black Panthers were defending themselves from white supremacists in Sacramento, in the fucking city, not in an incorporated like Rio Linda, in the city proper. They were defending themselves. And Ronald Reagan was governor. Gun control is racist. That's fucking racist. It comes, it's the most privileged fucking thing that you could say. Controlling guns and saying the police will take care of you is the equivalent to saying have the maid do it, right? So what Ronald Reagan did in the 80s is because they were afraid of the Black Panthers having guns, they instituted gun control. It didn't have anything to do with mass shooting because that shit's new. That shit is a fucking psyop. People don't do that shit. You look at every one of the cross-eyed motherfuckers that's walked into a school and shoot it up and tell me if you don't see similarities. They were either lab-created or fucking, they had their mind subverted some other way with psychotropic drugs or however you want to look at it. That shit is a new phenomenon. And guns have been around. Guns and swords have been around forever. And fools have not been shooting up schools. But what I'm trying to say is that the solutions start at home. And then to throw off your fear and try to go talk to people. I try to talk to people all the time about my ideals. I try to talk to people in real life. I recently abandoned Facebook because it's just a fucking, it's just a meat grinder for your emotions.
Well, today's show was, you know, bro, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but today's show was very intriguing to me. You know, I would love, because we're running a little bit short on time, but I would love for you to entertain this thought and this aspect. You know, a lot of people don't understand that back in the early 50s, going back as early as 1952, the government started Operation Monumental MK Ultra. And
oh, yeah, I'm fully aware.
It's an aspect that a lot of people are just now finding out about, you know, where
they
would take individuals from society, normal individuals, and perplex tests on them. But it even goes even deeper than that. Back to the early beginnings of the study, back at Harvard University, there was a young man named Ted Kaczynski, who we all know as the Unabomber. He underwent several of these, you know, government-controlled aspects of tests and drug treatments.
I don't think
he went on to be one of the greatest mass murderers of all time. You know, was that aspect government formulated? You know, these are questions that are now all coming and surfacing to the topic of today's society. These are aspects that the government has now had no they didn't want to release him, but now they have no control, but they're not releasing all the full documents, especially with Unabomber. But when you look at it in that aspect, think of that topic when we come, when we do another show together. I like to get in depth and have a discussion on the government's aspect into Project MK Ultra. You know, I think it's a great topic that America needs to be aware about. I think it's a topic that truly needs to be discussed. I don't know what your thoughts are, but I think it would be an intriguing aspect to have this show.
I would love to come back on and talk about it. I think
nice.
I'd also like to, just because you have listeners and people in my group, my collective, are constantly trying to get our ideas out to people. I think it would pair well with what you're talking about with MKUltra and these state-run programs and the subversion of the individual and the family. I think you're absolutely
That's
correct, definitely. And I probably agree with you 100% on whatever you – I can feel that I would probably agree with you and your thoughts on these subjects.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's tremendous. MF, like I said, I don't know where you've been hiding him, but – fuck you, brother. You know, you had a great aspect hidden in your pocket, and he called in the show on his own.
He's asked me many times to come on, and every time I'm like, nope.
Well, I'm truly honored you did, because now you get to see what the show's about.
No, it's great. I've listened a few times. I'm always reticent to... At this point, you know, he asked me to come on. I was going to say happy birthday, but I've thought about it recently, too, just because people need to hear, you know, uncomfortable truths, because comforting lies are destroying us.
Yes.
So that goes along the lines that you were saying about a hard-ass dad. You know what I'm saying? Because that's for real. You know, they don't like to hear, my kids don't like to hear that you're fucking up or you know what I mean, you're going down this wrong path. They don't like to hear it, but in turn, that makes fucking good kids, though. You know, when you do say it, when you do tell, when you do let them know, you know. And we've been saying this on
really...
the show forever, dude.
I'm
it's
sorry.
Like, the America's becoming pussies, and what the fuck, you know, the fuck's going on, you know? What kind of fucking country do we live in anymore?
Well, I think the problem there is the way we're communicating it. It's not that we're telling them. If you're telling them with a whack and a smack, you're not communicating. You're just telling them.
Right.
You know, if you're communicating effectively and you're being empathetic and understanding of their emotions and what it feels like to be a kid, because we don't remember what it feels like to be 5 years old. When somebody takes something you at 5 years old, it's like the love of your life just left you. We don't remember that. And, you know, to pair that, another one, if you're familiar or not, with Mark Passeo and his philosophy in peaceful parenting, and how, like, we shouldn't be hitting kids or being aggressive with the way we teach them things. You know, that's part of why we're so... You can still make a rough and tumble MF-er by treating them kindly and teaching them with empathy. You know, it's not... I totally agree with you. We do got to tell them, hey, you're screwing up or whatever. But there's a very delicate way to do that, to inform them and not shatter their sense of self. It's so easy to break a child. So easy.
Yes, it truly is. You know, gentlemen, I truly want to, we're running short on time. I truly want to thank each and everybody for calling into the show today. MF, I'm going to toss the mic to you if there's any final thoughts that you'd like to add to the program before we go off.
Shit, thanks for coming on, Rob. It's been fucking me, you know, wanting you on here for a fucking good minute. I'm glad you got some knowledge off some people. But shit, I'm really got
happy
a fucking
happy birthday, buddy. I love
here.
You.
Hey, thank you, bro. I definitely fucking appreciate the shit. One more day to death. But thanks to everybody that listens, you know. We'd love to have more people fucking call in. I'd love to hear fucking any kind of talks. It's crazy to think about the 3%, you know what I mean? I never even looked at it that way. But even if we're fucking missing titties, that fucking upsets me.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Cash 916.
No, it's just... It just shows that you can grow every day. You know, people say you learn something new every day. You know, it doesn't stop, and it sounds cliche, but you really do. You know what I mean? It's good to have an open mind. It's good to have an open mind about things and, you know, continue to learn. It's to fucking better yourself. You know, you're not done growing just because you're an adult, you know.
Yes. Most definitely. And gentlemen, as I'm aware of the caller, and I'll let you say your final parting words here in a second. MFX Cash 916, look into Project MK Ultra. Be prepped, be ready, be articulate, because it's a very deep, you know, hidden aspect of the CIA and how America operates, and it's going to be a very deep and insightful show. With that being said, I'm going to pass it to pardon me, your name was Rob?
Yes.
Okay.
All
Rob, do you have any final thoughts?
Write down my phone number and text me, and then MF, we'll get a group text going on so we could prep for another discussion. I'm grateful to have an ear and hear other people's perspectives always. If you stop learning, you stop growing. And Joe, MF, you can't be saying things like one day closer to death, because things like that, they help you age.
That's
why he has no hair, bro.
One of the reasons I said write down my phone number is because I want to send you all this ebook that I was listening to. And it has to do with the seven hermetic principles, but it's about the supreme self and things that you just don't say and things that you just don't do, because your thoughts and words become actions and then they become reality. Because like I said earlier, Christ is in us all. We are God. We are man gods, and we manifest our reality.
You know, I'm truly humbled that you called in today's show. MF, shoot him my private cell phone number, and that way we can correlate things together.
Hey, just put
you know,
him in the
I just
want to
thank each and every one of you. Yeah, you could do that. I want to thank each and every one of you for coming on the show today. I want to thank the listeners. Last week's episode had 279,000 live listens. 243 shares worldwide. It truly shows that people understand the thought and the mentality of the show. You know, it was originally a kick off your shoes Wednesday show, just for people of our magnitude to share our thoughts and let you converge and think about it and dwell on it and convey your aspects into it. But the show is growing. It's catching up with my music show. It's catching up with my Legends in Boxing and my Mixed Martial Arts show. So there's true variance to the show. The people want to hear it. I believe the rail should be shared, and it's coming back. And we're going to be part of the pioneers sharing that aspect through my show. With that being said, I want to thank the listeners. I want to thank the guests. Thank each and every one of you for coming on today's show. Have a tremendous day, and God bless. And I screwed up because I was trying to play some music, but I got messed up. So we'll bounce out of here with a little bit of music right now. Here we go.
Can I get away? Place my mind in a better state. They all sleeping on me while I'm dreaming wide awake. Been out of space, puffing planes, trying to hide away. Like college students, I ain't never gave my mind a break. To tell the truth, I ain't never took a day off. They say time is money, I'm invested, hope it pay off. All these different faces, been to several locations, and I still have yet to take off, won't tolerate no fly delay. Please understand the way the world lies in my hands. I gotta take care of the fam, it's all just a part of becoming a man. Whether it's hustling by the grams or scrubbing the pans, I do what I can. Stick to the plan, I promise one.